welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Who wasn't here last week? It was a great long weekend, no? But I want to encourage you, for those of you who weren't here, download the Sean shared a really, just really practical, really great message. I know it stirred many of our hearts just in terms of just living the life. You know, it's easy talking the talk, walking the walk is a little bit different. And Sean spoke just around those lines a little bit, and just a powerful testimony of what God's done in him and his heart and practically in his life, in his workplace. So I want to encourage you, if you want to really get that message and listen to it during the week. I know you students have too much time on your hands now, so you don't have an excuse for not catching up. But I really want to encourage you to get that message. And were any ladies at the ladies' morning this morning? I'm sure it was better than that, but I heard it was really good. Heard Madeleine spoke really well as well. And just so great, just what God is doing in that. And through that, and we're excited, got some big plans for next year. There's this conference that we have in Stellenbosch every year. It's called Awaken. And there's a strong possibility there will be Awaken either Pretoria or Johannesburg next year as well. So we're excited just for what God's doing in the amongst the ladies. Ladies, it's a lot cheaper driving to Johannesburg than to Cape Town. So just we'll keep you updated as those things pan out, but it's looking like that's probably going to be happening. And then, as I said at the beginning, our service this evening is a little bit different to the way we normally do it. Not totally different, but just a little bit different in that God's really been speaking to us the last while. I'm going to share a little bit about the heart around that as we carry on. Just around the fact that ministry isn't all about somebody standing up here telling us a whole bunch of things, and then we go away, and the next week we come back, and somebody stands up here and tells us a whole bunch of things as well. So before we carry on, I'd like us to turn in groups of two or three, four, if you really have to, at a stretch, but preferably not too much bigger than four, just so that you can have a little bit of a conversation in your group. And just a couple of questions that I'd like you to think about and talk through. Sort of, we're going to have a mini cell here tonight, if that's okay with you guys, because cell is cool. Andy Stanley... Thank you, Christoph. Sally's cool. Okay. Christoph and I are on the same page here. Andy Stanley says it really well. He says circles are better than rows. And I agree with him. And so you can get into little circles. You've got a couple of questions that I'd like you guys to speak about tonight. And I'm going to give them with you as we carry on. But as you look in the mirror, and you have looked in a mirror recently, because we're all people. In Stellenbosch, when I studied, one of the residences there, one of the girls' residences, one of their first year's week, I don't know if they do it here as well, is they tape up all the mirrors so the girls can't see a mirror for like a whole week and a half or 2 weeks. They're not allowed seeing a single mirror. So apparently that's trauma for a girl, I'm led to believe. But I want to... Just in your groups, this is the first question, and kind of take a bit of time, chat through that, and then I'll throw out the questions as we go along. Otherwise, you're going to start at the last one, or someone's going to be over eager or something. So you can find your little circle, create a little circle there. And then mention one thing when you look in the mirror that you enjoy seeing and one thing you don't. When it comes to the thing you don't like seeing, you're not allowed saying the person standing next to you. Once you're done sort of mentioning that, what you like seeing and what you don't like seeing, next question is, when you do Bible study or when you come to church, what is your goal? What is it that you want and you're asking, how are these things connected? Don't worry, we'll get there. What is your goal when you come to church or when you do Bible study? What is it that you'd like to sort of get out of it? Obviously, there's a bunch of them, but you know, when you specifically Bible study, I'm not talking about prayer and intercession or any of that stuff. When you open your Bible and you start reading scripture, what is it that you're after? What is your goal? And maybe take a couple of moments and think about that and share what comes to mind. Bible study and coming to church tonight. I know some of you came here tonight because you're looking for a husband or looking for a wife. But apart from that, what is your goal in coming? If you're done with that question, if you're still on it, you're welcome to carry on. But for those of you who are finished, you can move on to the next two. In the last couple of months, what message in church, whether this church or whichever church you happen to attend normally, has stood out for you the most? Which message has stood out the most and why? And then similarly, in your time of personal devotion, what has God been speaking to you about? So I know it might be, some of the things might be a little bit intimate, but be maybe a little bit bold in what you share. Don't have to give all the details. But just share about kind of in being in church for the last while. And if it's your first time here tonight, then say it's my first time, and that's also fine. But if you have been going to church, what is it that God's been speaking to you about? And in your time of personal devotion, what is it that God's been talking to you? What is your conversation sort of centered around largely for the last while? Okay. So if you're still busy with the previous one, you're welcome to carry on with that. Otherwise, you can move on to these two. If you're still busy, take another 2 or 3 minutes just to finish that off. If you're still busy, you can take another 2 minutes or so just to start wrapping up. Okay, if we could finish that off and wrap up those chats. Go back into your rows, because circles are noisy, I realize. In a good way. So some of you can go home and phone your parents tonight as you do. For those of you that are a bit younger still, you can still phone your parents as you would do on a good Sunday night, you know, and catch up with them and say, Mom, you're never going to guess what? Our pastor tells us to talk in church. Some of you, that's gone over your head. Some of us, that was the biggest hiding invitation on the face of the planet, is when you talked in church. But I think I must get us a whole bunch of little mini tape recorders and record all of these comments. I'd love to just hear all of your answers, especially the first question. What don't you like? So we can tease you about it. Whatever somebody said in your group now, you're not allowed teasing him about that. And you're not allowed putting on Facebook either. But if you did, just tag me so I can read it as well. Okay. But as we look at that second question, I think it's important that from time to time we stand still and we ask ourselves, what is my purpose in all of this? Why am I opening up my Bible? Why am I coming to church? Why am I doing these disciplines, which are really healthy disciplines to be doing them, but can very quickly just become another mundane task when I lose sight of what's going on in my heart? What's driving this process? What's causing me to wake up in the morning and to open my Bible, or to close the door and go sit somewhere quiet and open my Bible? What am I wanting in that time when I'm taking the time? And obviously there are a couple of really good answers. Maybe you'd said you come into church tonight because you want to glorify God and you just want to exalt Him. That would be a really great answer. Maybe you said you're coming because you want to serve and you want to pray and you want to just see and experience other people knowing God. That's great. Hopefully a part of our answer would also be because I want to know Jesus. I want to see Him. I want to know who He is. I want to understand a little bit better of His heart. And I want to enjoy Him. That's a great answer as well. Why do I come to church? Because I want to enjoy Jesus. Why do I open my Bible? Because I want to enjoy the lover of my soul. The same way, guys, when you take a girl out on a date, the idea is that you enjoy one another. My sister-in-law yesterday had a... My in-laws have this WhatsApp chat thing going, and they talk a lot of stuff on there. And my sister-in-law went on a date last night with a guy that she doesn't know if she can say two words to him. So my other sister-in-law put on a whole bunch of questions that they can ask and topics that they can talk about. And we're still waiting for feedback. I don't know. Maybe we'll find out how the discussion went. I went and found a YouTube clip and posted the link to her. I don't know if you read it. It's an old Right Said Fred song. Some of you might remember it. It starts, "Don't talk, just kiss." Sometimes you've got to stir the pot just a bit. But we've got to ask ourselves, what's our intention in opening? I just want to enjoy God. I just want to enjoy Him for who He is. That's a really good answer. And there are a whole bunch of other really good answers you might have mentioned. To hear His voice. Need direction. I need an answer. And I need to know what God's saying about this. But one of our goals, part of what we should be looking for, is what Scripture speaks about in Romans 12 verse 2. Is, put the next slide up there. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Part of our goal in opening our Bible, part of our goal in coming to church should be, God, I want to be transformed. Yes, God, I want to know You. I want to enjoy You. All of those things. But at the same time, God, there's an understanding that as I see You, the more I see You, the more I'm going to realize I'm not like You. But I need to become like You. And that's a transformation process. That's a change process. And God, I want to be changed in my time with You, God, because I'm going to be changed in the world when I'm spending time with my friends, with my colleagues. I'm going to become like them in a sense. I'm going to change when I watch a whole bunch of movies. I'm going to become like that. Just watch little kids watching movies. Beautiful illustration of that. Depending on which movies they watch, how beautiful the illustration, but you get the point. And the same, God, if I'm spending time with You, I want to be changed to become like You. I want to be transformed. 2 Corinthians says that same thing really beautifully. It says, but we all, it speaks about Moses. He's just gone up on a mountain. And Moses was a bit of a crazy guy. When he was 80 years old, God spoke to him and God said to him, go and speak to the guy who grew up with your, like your brother. His name's Pharaoh, Ramesses. And go deliver my people. Go set my people free. And the whole 10 plagues and that whole process happens. And then Moses comes out of Egypt with a couple of million Israelites. And God starts speaking to them. And on this one holy mountain that they're not allowed, no one's allowed touching this mountain because this is sort of the mountain where God dwells. God says, except you, Moses. Actually, I want you to climb this mountain. So Moses and Joshua climb the mountain and Joshua kind of stays just a little bit behind Moses. Moses has this incredible encounter with God. And while he's up there, these Israelites do what all of us do. They just get crazy and stupid and they come back and they've just built themselves another God. And I love how Moses looks at Aaron and says, Aaron, what happened here? And Aaron says, I don't know. We just took all the gold earrings and we threw it in the fire and this calf came out. That's Aaron's answer to Moses. You know, I can just imagine Moses just shaking his head thinking, crazy guy. And right there, he breaks all 10 commandments in one thing, and breaks his tablet. You know, Bill Gates was a believer. Not Bill Gates, the other one. Steve Jobs with a tablet thing. And then Moses, he just fasted 40 days. He comes down. He breaks the tablets. He realizes, oops, I needed those tablets. And he goes straight back up again and fasts another 40 days on the mountain. And after 80 days of fasting as an 80-year-old, he comes down and his face is glowing. And he physically has to wear put a veil over his face just so that he can kind of speak to the Israelites and the people around him so they don't get all freaked out and run away. He just covers his face. And Scripture says that same thing here, that we all with unveiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now I want to encourage you in that, that as we come to Christ, we're going to change. That as we begin to see Jesus and begin to spend time with Him, He changes us. If you've been serving God for a long time and you look back and your life hasn't changed, are you in love? I want to say to you, something's wrong. Something's missing. Your life hasn't become perfect, definitely not. But something must have changed. You must have become more like Jesus. Growing to reflect His image better, to be an ambassador for Him, is even as these people going out and just looking around, seeing Niels who's just come back from, where were you, Zambia or somewhere, he got a bit sick, seems pale but probably healthy, I'm hoping. Going out as ambassadors for Christ, becoming like Him and reflecting who He is. So that's all by way of introduction. So what I really want us to get to tonight is James 1, reading from the New Living Translation. It says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and you don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and you don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing that. Couple of points that I want to highlight from there. The first one is we really need to make a piece of the fact that the Word is our mirror. Too often we look at my friend as my mirror, or the guy, my small group leader, person in a small group with me, or some person on TV, or some author of a book. Read somewhere a while ago, or heard someone speaking on the radio, I can't remember who it was, a guy just venting a little bit of his frustration. He says, it's easy because him and his wife weren't saved, and then they got saved and started serving the Lord together. And he says, you know, not serving God as an unbeliever, it's easy. Because your wife's expectation of you isn't that high. Just because, unfortunately, that's the state of the world. But then you get saved, and then she compares you to James Dobson, you know. Then if you're not James Dobson, you're a failure. It was kind of... Sometimes we have a whole bunch of barometers that we measure ourselves against. And so important that we understand the mirror we look at when we're looking at ourselves. We must look ourselves in the mirror of the Word. What do I look like when I compare myself to what the Word holds before me? And the reality is, if you've been serving God for a while, there's going to be some stuff that you're going to look at and you're going to smile and you're going to be able to say, thank you, God. Because in the same way, if you look in a mirror and you maybe happen to really like your nose, the only reason you're going to say, I like this nose, is thank you, God. Unless you're in Hollywood, then, you know, thank you to some scalpel. But if there's any part about you as you look in a mirror that you really like, the only thing you can really say honestly is thank you, God. Because He's given it to you. In the same way, there are going to be some things spiritually that you look at yourself and you look at your character when you look in the mirror that you can smile at and thank you, God. But then there are going to be other things you're going to look at and say, God, that's it right there. It's really not so cute, God. Or that funny shaped ear, God, or that skew eye. Whatever it may be that you know because you've looked at yourself in the mirror and you've analyzed every freckle, especially the ladies, tape up mirrors. Speak to some ladies and they kind of, I've heard some, and they say this thing that they don't like about, or heard about themselves, or mention something, and everyone's like, I've never noticed it, but now that you say it, I'm never going to miss it. Those things that you know that nobody else has seen, those teeny little imperfections, spiritually they're going to be there as well. And then Scripture holds this this thing, but before we get there, just coming back to the comparison thing, I really want to just mention again, stay away from comparing yourself to other people. Because one of two things is going to happen. You're going to compare your strength with somebody else's weakness, and then you're going to judge them because they're not as good as you in that area. Or you're going to compare your weakness to their strength, and then you're going to feel inferior and insecure. Those are the only, in my life, those are the only comparisons. I've yet to meet the person who's comparing his strength with somebody else's strength. Because we see some person up there, and normally, especially if we don't know them well, we see this one element of them, and we compare that area, because that's the area we're struggling with. And now I want to be James Dobson, or whatever, you know. And we're comparing our area of struggle, our area we need to grow, with the one area where somebody else may be strong. And we're never going to win. There's nothing good ever going to come from that. So stay away from earthly comparisons. Yes, honor strengths in other people. And we've got relationship with people. Pray with them around their weaknesses. But don't begin the comparison thing. It's just that game no one ever wins. But do come against the Word of God and allow the Word of God to reflect on who I am. What are my strengths? Because you're going to have strengths. God's given you strengths. Scripture says we must judge ourselves soberly. Sometimes the thing we think are strengths, they're really not such good strengths. And we need friends around us to say, no, you actually suck. And you think you're the best violin player on the planet, and you need somebody with just a bit of love to say, put down the violin. Before you go and serenade that girl, rather get a CD. But we need to allow the Holy Spirit to come and do that in our lives. To come and strip away those areas of pride where we think we're all that, and we begin to realize, maybe I'm not. Even when we're comparing ourselves, don't compare ourselves even against unbelievers. Sometimes spiritually we tend to do that. We think, no, I'm okay. I love God because I've got more quiet time than the people who don't know Jesus at all. Question is, what does the Word have to say about you and your relationship with Christ? Are you comfortable? Can you stand before God Almighty with a pure heart and say, God, my heart is clean and pure before you? That's the only righteous judgment that we should be bringing upon ourselves, irrespective of what believers or unbelievers are doing, if we're better or we're worse. None of that really counts too much for anything. But the second point that I want to highlight out of here, and sort of really what I'm wanting us to think about tonight, is a concern that I walk around with, probably every preacher walks around with, in our heart every day. It's a concern that perhaps we're doing great events and we're gathering great crowds. People with a fantastic ability to hear, but an inability to do. Scripture says here, if you listen to the Word and you don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, you walk away and forget what you look like. And that's a concern that I don't believe maybe is as prevalent here, but I just want us to think about it and talk about it a little bit. Because to some degree, it will be prevalent. To some degree, if we look back over the last 6 months over what God has been speaking to us about, maybe some of us can't even remember. We don't know. I want to submit to you, it's really hard to do something if you don't know what you're meant to be doing. Or we think back and we say, yes, God's been speaking to me about this. I'll get around to it at some stage. My mom at some stage came home from after school and she gave us this little round thing that had been cut down. On the inside was text and it says, this is a round to it. From now on, you've got a round to it, so now you should be doing everything that you've ever said you'll do when you get around to it. So we were never allowed using that phrase again because the mom would just give us a round to it and we need to do it. But a serious concern is that for whatever reason, Possibly because we're lazy, disobedient, whatever it may be. We're not doing what God's saying to us. Or possibly because we're so busy that we're not doing what God's saying to us. Sometimes our busyness is the greatest obstacle to our obedience. We get so busy doing the next thing that we haven't even stopped to do what we know God told us to do. God, I need to do this and this and this and this and this and this. And then on Sunday, on Wednesday, in your Bible study or whatever, God speaks to you and He says, I want you to do this. And you say, yes, God, I will, once I've done everything else on my to-do list. And the sad reality is very rarely do we then come back to this thing that we know God said. If we don't prioritize it right from the beginning. And I think it's something that we need to be honest about, something we need to talk about. Because coming in church and hearing something, receiving revelation, even in your own personal quiet time, your own personal devotion time with God, revelation doesn't change anything. It doesn't change us. It doesn't transform us. And maybe for too long, we've thought that it does. And that's why church a lot of the time looks the way it thinks, the way it is, because we think if only people can know what I know. You know, you can know every single financial principle in the world and still be bankrupt. In a really sad way, the history of theology has taught us that you can know a lot about God but not know God. You can spend your life studying Scripture but not meet Jesus. In the same way, we're not looking for people to get the next revelation. It's a struggle we often have in our small groups because sometimes our small group leaders are still reasonably young in the faith, and that's fine. We're comfortable with that. But we need to help them overcome this, that what your small group doesn't need is the revelation that you've just got. Because that's not going to change them. That's not going to transform them. Knowledge doesn't change anything until that knowledge becomes applicable in my life. Until there's some practical outworking from that knowledge, then it's just, as Scripture says, knowledge that puffs up. It just swells my head. And just on that point, maybe we should reconsider some of the books we're reading. Are we reading books that give great knowledge and great revelation in that sense? Or is there actually something in there that can transform our lives? In other words, something that we can apply on a day-to-day, not necessarily even a day-to-day basis, but something we can apply in our practical life. If there's no practical outflow of it, then it's just knowledge. And it's important that we say this to ourselves often. One of the reasons that I think small group is so important, it's an opportunity where we come together to allow the Word of God to transform us. An opportunity. It should be one of many. But we realize, and that's one of the fights we have with our small group leaders regularly as well. You know, we work at a pretty fast pace in church. Anyone ever notice that? We don't apologize for that. I really believe that's what God wants from us and what God's called us to. But that means that we need to be very deliberate about certain things as well. It means sometimes we need to deliberately slow down to allow the Word just to simmer in our hearts a little bit, to breathe over the Word, to allow it to really make sense. Because we can come, especially for those of you, if you just come into church, you know, you get saved, and you start going, and every Sunday you're in church. And Monday night you're at leaders' meeting or you're at intercession, and Tuesday night you're at Bible school, and Wednesday night you're at small group, and Thursday night you're at band practice or whatever it may be, and Thursday morning or Friday morning, depending on where you stay, you're praying, and you're just all the times God speaking. And then we need to sometimes just step back a little bit and say, okay, let me just digest this a little bit. Because otherwise we can become so detached from life, and we've got all these great revelations up there in the seventh heaven. But practically, we haven't learned the skill of translating that into life. We haven't learned the skill of taking that which God says, digesting it, implementing it, and saying, okay, God, so you've said this not just for me to know it, but you've said this for me to do it, to live it. And that's where transformation becomes in that process. And that's why, for those of you still wondering, why in small group don't we want teaching? Why don't we want people watching DVDs? Why do we just want one simple thing? Just take what we did on Sunday night and talk through it. It's for the simple principle. We need to learn, as Scripture says here, not to be like people looking at a mirror, seeing the areas that need attention and just walking away again. We need to be people who see the area that needs attention and then goes to God and say, God, I know I had a mirror, but here's a photo. Because I can take this out all the time. I want to encourage you, get in the habit if you're not in it. When you come to church, when you have quiet time, have a notepad close by or a cell phone, take a virtual notes. Write down what God's saying to you and regularly go back. Regularly see what this last week have I. And God isn't always going to speak through instruction, but a lot of time He does. Sometimes He just wants to say He loves us. Sometimes He just wants to affirm you. Sometimes He just wants to enjoy one another. But as this passage here says, that a lot of the time we mustn't just be listening to God's word, we must be doing it. So otherwise you see yourself and you walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law, it's the word of God that sets you free, and you do what it says and you don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Then that passage goes on just a couple of verses later, and it talks about faith without works being dead. So faith needs to be infused with works as evidence of the faith. You can have works without faith, but you can't have true faith without works. And there's this whole movement now that says, you know, we mustn't do works. I'm just like, what Bible do you read? We must do works. Jesus said, I must work the work of Him who sent me. But that work must be an outflow of our relationship. It's not the substance of our relationship. We've got a substance, we've got a relationship with Christ, and out of the relationship with Christ flows a certain nature of us doing certain things according to His way, for His name's sake and for His glory. The works doesn't become a tick list of trying to please, trying to bless, trying to impress and make God happy. We know He's already happy with us. He's already pleased with us. And the outflow of that is, the outflow of a healthy relationship is the works that we do in partnership with God, yoking with Him. So I want to encourage you, just two basic things. It's not up there. First thing some of you need to do is just get in the habit, I mentioned this already, start writing it down. When God speaks to you, whether on a Sunday night, and I really believe that just the God's way God has framed church, because this is the way it's always worked in my life. So when I come to church and God would speak, that's not just a nice message, that's God speaking to me. And then I need to go home and I can figure out, okay, God, everything else, this, what's happening at church is providing context into the message that you're giving me in my own private life. So, God, this is what we've been speaking about. How does Sunday's message inform that? How does Sunday's message shine light on that so I can understand you better? Just always worked that way for me. When I started clicking that, then coming to Sunday, it's not just a nice message that I'm hearing. It's the Word of God that's meant to change and transform me. And I must be serious about that. Write it down. Start taking those notes. What is God saying? How is He saying it? Even if He's just saying He loves you, write it down. Because 3 months down the line, when the enemy comes knocking on your door and he's saying, you know, God doesn't really love you, you can say, no, but remember that night when God spoke to me, He said He loves me. He said He's pleased with me. You just start writing those things down. Keep a record. And then be accountable. Be accountable to yourself, first of all. If you're serious about following God, then be accountable about it. And secondly, have somebody else to help you to stay accountable. The definition that I like most about accountability is just somebody who helps you to do what you want to do anyway. It's not somebody who's going to not tell you what God is saying, not somebody who's going to tell you to do something, be angry with you if you haven't done it. It's you sitting with somebody, and that's one of the reasons why small group is so great. It just creates a really healthy environment for this type of discussion. This is what God's saying to me. This is what I want to do. Okay, so keep me accountable about that. Because I have purpose in my heart, I want to do this, but I know myself. I'm a lazy, procrastinating, add on another couple of adjectives if you want there, individual. And as much as I really want to do this, I know I'm probably not. So I want you to phone me every morning or SMS me every morning or do whatever it takes to help me to do what I really want to know, what I really want to do, what I know I need to be doing. Help me to change my habits. Help me to develop a lifestyle. Help me to do what is right in those situations. That's what accountability is about. And obviously we need to be accountable in a bunch of areas in our lives, but I think none more so than just simply in our obedience to Christ. So I had us ask those questions. What has God been saying to you? And how have you been responding? What's He been saying to you in church? What's He been saying to you in your quiet time? As you look back, a little bit of homework for us to do in the next while. As I look back over the last 6 months, look what you've written down. If you haven't been writing it down, trust God for grace to remind you of what you should have written down. And then say, okay, God, how are we doing? Am I living this out that you've been imparting into my life? Is it transforming me? Wow, we just got a whole bunch of head knowledge. That's not changing anything except making me feel good. Shall we stand? Father, I want to thank you this afternoon just for the incredible grace you have upon our lives, that we know you, that even as we sang at the beginning, that we can have joy in you, Lord, that you, as you said to Abraham, you can be our exceedingly great reward. And Jesus, we don't want anyone or anything else in this life except you and that which is from you. We know every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. That's you, Lord, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God, we want to know you and the fullness of all you are and all you have and all you bring, Lord. And in our lives, walk away from everything that's not that, Lord. God, I pray for a grace for all of us that we would truly learn to see our Bibles as many things, God, our daily bread that we need to be eating, God. Instruction and direction and an anchor, but also as a mirror, Lord. That we would not be ashamed of going to the mirror. That we'd know as we go to the mirror, there are some things that we like seeing, and there's some things we don't. But only you can change. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you come and you bring about that change in our hearts and in our lives, Lord. That as we regularly go to the Word, Lord, that we would not be like those who look in a mirror and walk away and forget what we look like. Lord, that we'd remember by the grace of the Holy Spirit reminding us and leading us in righteousness and in truth, transforming and changing us, Lord. Because we want to be continually transformed as we behold that same glory as in a mirror, Lord. We want to be transformed into your likeness, into your image, Lord. And we know on this side of eternity, God, it's a continual process. But one day, we will see you and we will be just like you in the twinkling of an eye, Lord. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I want to ask, perhaps there's somebody here tonight, if you're totally honest with yourself, you don't know Jesus. You don't enjoy Him and probably haven't really met Him. Maybe you've been to church a lot. But you've never had that moment where you've invited Him into your life to come and change and transform. Maybe you've been trying to figure this all out yourself, but you've never just almost taken your hands off of your own life and surrendered them to Him and said, Jesus, I'm tired of doing it my way, let's do this your way, Lord. Come and change and transform me on the inside, because I need to be transformed. If there's anyone like that here this afternoon, I would so love to pray with you. could be my incredible privilege. So if you could just quickly raise your hand if that's you. Is there anyone like that? I'd love to pray with you. Just to introduce you to Jesus. Invite Him to come and change and transform. To make you more like Him. And then the band's going to continue ministering. If you need to go after this, I'm going to pray now. And once I pray, you're welcome to go. There's coffee and tea outside. We'd love to have you join us, especially if you're visiting. Have some coffee and tea. Have a chat. It's been really nice to get to know you. But if you need to just spend time in God's presence, you're welcome to do that. Just bands are going to be ministering. You can just stay where you are and enjoy His presence. And if you need somebody to pray with you, maybe you've got a specific prayer request, an area in your life that God has been speaking to you tonight, then come forward. We'll be in front here to pray with you. Please don't go out with the same burden that you came in. Especially if God's been speaking to you. Maybe you here, I'm just going to throw this out. Maybe God's been speaking to you, and tonight God's been reminding you about something that He's been speaking to you about, and you've been a listener but not a doer in that specific area. And tonight you want to say, God, I'm going to do. God, I've heard enough. I'm going to do. Then I want to encourage you, just as an act of obedience, just step out to the front. We're just going to pray with you over that, just to say, God, we're going from hearing to doing. We'd love to pray with you and just help, just settle the thing in your spirit. The confidence, help you just by faith to overcome that fear of doing whatever it is that God's holding before you to go out and to do. So God, thank you just for awesome time in your presence. God, we don't want to be the same again. And we know once we've seen you, we can never be the same again. Holy Spirit, as we go out in this week, you will continue to change and to transform us and renew us, restore us, breathe hope and life over us, Lord. Because it's our joy and our privilege to know you. And as we go into this week, God, we know there's a whole world out there that doesn't know you. God, we pray for a grace to faithfully represent you, to speak of you, to testify of you, to exalt you, Lord, wherever we may go this week, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, you're welcome to come forward. If you need to go, have an incredible week. God bless you all.
Power to the weak, you raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.